106 of Speak On It. I'm your host, Danny Ocean, as always, joined by the smoothest man on the planet, back from a wedding trip, back from crossing the country, Losty Mix. How are you?
My brother, you already know when you see this Nas fade, it can only be one brother, the good brother, Los D Mix. Danny, as always, it is a pleasure and an honor to be here with you. I've been thinking about that line, like the Nas fade things. So I've been thinking about really like trying to grow my hair out again.
Oh, like, I didn't know you had your hair long to begin with. Keep going.
So, see, a lot of people in my life currently don't really know that back when I was like in that 11 to like 14, 15, 16 range, I used to rock like a little mini afro. I also from time to time had like the little box. And then I also had the hawk fro, the mohawk, the
no,
mofro.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I had a little mohawk fro, that for a little bit. So I'm thinking about just growing my hair out, mostly on top. I might taper the sides. And I'm actually, believe it or not, I'm thinking about getting my braids back, maybe in like a year and a half.
Oh, you like the Jimmy Butler braids up top, tape on the bottom, on the sides. Mm-hmm. Must be nice to have the freedom to do whatever you want with your hair.
I got to try something new, my man. I've had this ball fade now for close to 10 years, and the price of haircuts just continues to inflate like most other things in this country. And while I love my barbers, maybe I wanted to try to keep my hair. Listen, I was thinking about it. Couple of the greatest rappers of all time, most of the greatest rappers of all time are growing their hair out. They do the long dread things. Yep. And they say that the reason why black people originally started these cleaner, small cuts was a slave thing. Master used to cut our hair, shave us down. Like, we used to have the long hair and shit. So
that,
gotta stay proud and black.
Okay. Well, for those of us who don't have that option, but believe it or not, I used to have braids when I was 11 or 12. Yeah, when Allen Iverson was in these streets, I had braids the whole nine many moons ago.
This is like when you're watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Uncle Phil get to talking about back when he was skinny. It's like,
all right, ladies and gentlemen, the show's about to be about going for $2.
I don't want no sauce. It's just like I'm looking at you now with the clean shaven bald head, and now I gotta imagine you with hair. And that right there is like a task in my eyes. I gotta really imagine.
You follow me on Instagram. My picture is when I was in eighth grade and I had braids.
Okay.
I'll tell you a funny story why I cut my hair. I was in the grocery store with my mother one time, and I think I've told you this story. And this old lady walks up to us. I have an older sister, and she says, "Oh, ma'am, you have two beautiful daughters." I cut my hair the next week.
That's what did it for you?
Yep. I was like, we
done. Your masculinity wasn't strong enough to take that.
Yeah, no, it was not. And my mom had wanted me to cut my braids. I think she paid that woman to say that, because my mom had been, because the price of getting your hair braided was really expensive, and I was getting done every 2 weeks.
Do we want to talk about how most things in masculinity are very toxic?
Oh, we can have that conversation for hours. That could be a whole show. We don't even have to talk about sports. It can be like how
male masculinity is rooted in some form of toxicity. But I would also argue that who's to say that women femininity is not rooted in some toxicity as well.
I mean, I guess we can say that traditional gender roles are rooted in toxicity. I don't know. I'm not that smart.
Speak to us about where the pod's from.
I'm not that smart. The show's brought to you by goingfor2.com. Head over to goingfor2.com for all your fantasy needs. I know we're starting to enter the summer months. Well, we're not starting. We are in the summer months, but training camp is a month away. So it's time to start calculating. It's time to start strategizing about what you are going to do. And Going for Two is more than happy to help you get there. This is a packed show tonight. We are talking a lot of NBA drama that has unfolded, as right behind you, Bobby Marks is talking about some team in the cap space. I'm guessing it's Houston because he's been talking about Houston all day. Like I said, training camps around the corner. We're going to talk about some contract extensions, and then we're going to play Big Deal or No Deal, our favorite game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, my brother. It is going to be a great show. Before we get into it, listen, there's been this song that I've been playing.
Okay.
The last couple days. I know last week I was I on the Gunna last week?
Yes, last week you were
on the Gunna. So, as you know, a few days later, Thugger Jeffrey, a.k.a. Young Thug, aka Sex. That's his name, people. I'm not talking crazy. That is his name.
We're not calling another man Sex.
He announced a new album called Business is Business. He released it on Friday, right? And a lot of people assumed that it was going to be in direct response to a lot of Gunna's album, given their current Rico situation.
Yeah.
I think after hearing some of the album, it felt a little pre-jail recorded. You can tell that they are just trying to, you know, get some more funds in for the court case. But there's one song on there. It's Thugger and Jeffrey. They got a little sample going, but I like what they was doing with it. Hold on, I'm gonna play a little bit of this.
Is Thugger Jeffrey? Is it like T.I. Tip kind of thing?
No. Like Jeffrey is his name. Like Jeffrey Williams is his name.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like a T.I. versus Tip thing. It's his alter ego.
But I thought, his name is like Tip Harris. That's his real name.
Yeah, but he had a whole album. It was called T.I. versus T.I.P. Like two totally different people.
That's an album called Jeffrey, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, but you see, they kind of vibing with it. I like the little ding to ding in the back.
So,
I
try my best not to hate on the music that you guys listen to, but Thugger never did it for me. I just couldn't.
Really?
I just couldn't get past his voice.
My brother, where was you at when Hookah dropped? Baby, pad me to Hookah. Come on, that was the drop back in the day.
I was in the house. I was in the house.
You older than me. You couldn't have been. That was 2014.
Yeah, man, 2014.
What about Get the Fuck Out My Face, Rich Homie Quan, and Young Thug? That's the first time I heard Young Thug. I ain't gonna hold you. It was on Rich Homie mixtape back in like 2013. I was like, man.
Yeah, I couldn't get past his voice.
Pause.
Yeah, for me, I heard Lifestyle, and I was like, yeah, this is not for me, which is fine, because his music.
But Lifestyle get the party going. Did a lot of shit just to live this here lifestyle. Hey, maybe he been telling us all along, Jeffrey, look, a lot of people have been saying free Big Slime. This is my thing, and I've been thinking about this a lot. So they say that he is the leader of this criminal organization,
yes.
And they are also saying that Gunna, in order to get out, told him information on this criminal organization. So a lot of people were like, oh, we're not going to listen to him because he's a snitch. So my thing is, and I may have said this last week, if you're against the snitching, cool, but then how can you turn around and then support these allegations if they are true? Because they have some of these allegations where he was terrorizing communities and whatnot.
Listen, I heard some of those allegations, and if even one of them is true, keep that man in jail.
That's what I'm saying. So I mean, we can talk about it later, but I think maybe Jim Jones or somebody said it recently that people don't like rap music, they like rappers.
Yes. Yes, I believe that was Jim Jones. Speaking of which, and is that on the docket for later? Jim Jones versus Pusha T?
We can cover it right now. We already here.
Dog. I know people are saying that Jim Jones' response is weak, but man, Jim, if Jim could stay on beat.
Now he was kind of on beat. It's the video. I'm not this. He a rapper. He on beat. So the thing is with Jim not gonna talk with the play. He not gonna talk with the subliminals. He just gonna popping. He gonna say straight up, yo, X Y Z A B C D E F mother effer. What's
like
up?
Like the Arby's McDonald's line. Hilarious.
Like Push got to come with Push more calculated. He more methodical. Jim Jones like, motherfucker, fuck you. You ugly. Listen, I knew what type of time, yo. He started off with, man, that shit was weak. Do that shit over. I was like, oh man.
I'm enjoying this Pusha T Jim Jones beef. I just hope it stays in the booth, that it doesn't
leak out. It's got to stay in the booth. Let's just keep it to rap music. But the problem is Pusha is one of those guys, and he's been documented with saying it, that there's no such thing as too far.
Yeah.
And if you maybe are a little familiar with Jim Jones and Freddie Gibbs' recent situation, and you can tell that Jim Jones is also about that action, but he will pull up at your front door. And this is a lesson to everyone who might not know that sometimes the bigger fish is the bigger fish. And sometimes, and we'll talk about this later, sometimes the bigger fish is quite literally the ocean. And you should just leave well enough alone.
Yes.
But y'all white people are going to learn. But before then, We are going to start in the NBA, right? Let's do it. The NBA continues to be the most dramatic professional league in the country. So since our NBA coverage last week, a few things have happened. I see the Yeti Express 2 is in the chat. He's here. He said he's here to say that Draymond Green ain't getting $33 million in free agency. My brother, I would like to start there in Golden State because since we were last here, yep. Kristaps Porzingis was traded to Boston. Marcus yep. Smart was traded to Memphis. And Chris Paul, speaking of the Golden State Warriors, was traded to Golden State in a three-team deal. So, my brother, I got to ask you, of these three teams, who do you think really won the trade? And what are your thoughts overall on the trade?
I know this has been said a lot, but I just want to reiterate that Jordan Poole is the winner of this trade. You have a championship. Okay. You're getting your money.
I got something.
We going to D.C. He going to have the greenest light in the NBA. He going to Chocolate City. We know how he play in front of the baddies. Jordan Poole is the winner. But out of the teams, I want to say Boston, but I really think Memphis. The addition, I don't think we can put a value on having an adult in the room. And Marcus Smart is an adult. And Marcus Smart, for those of you who don't know, he has dealt with his issues in the beginning of his career. He fought a fan at Oklahoma State in the crowd. Like, he's had his flirtations with trouble, and just having an adult in the room can make the world of difference. And I think Memphis getting Marcus Smart, granted they had to give up a lot to get him, but again, having an adult in the room.
So before I get into this trade, I want to go back to your Jordan Poole point because I want to play something real quick.
Okay.
But they were saying there's reasons Draymond punched him in his face. They said the first day he told Draymond Green, you know, Michigan and Michigan State have beef. Draymond Green's from Michigan State.
Right. Michigan. Yeah, he from Michigan
That's
State.
Already a lifetime.
Yeah, right. Right, Mace. Lifetime rivalry already. Yeah, Draymond went to Michigan State. Jordan Poole went to Michigan.
He was running sprints or something. He told
Draymond, so now they in practice.
Don't worry about it. You'll be in Sacramento next year.
Okay, so you with one ring and me with four rings, you're telling me I'm going to be in Sacramento. I got something for you, light-skinned boy. Keep talking. So now you're talking about my...
Listen, first of all...
No. Mute up because I got something for you. I got something for you. A couple weeks ago, we was talking about this punch. The punch heard around the league. My man Danny Ocean came up in here with a clean bald head, looking good on the other side of the camera like he normally does. He came in here and said, well, hey, these two can't be together, and Draymond shouldn't have punched him. Like, he had no right to punch him, and Jordan Poole has every right to feel a way that he does for being punched, and everyone's got to see it. And I specifically said, hey, yo, dog, something tells me to get punched in the face like that in practice had to be more than basketball. You got to think this is a championship team. So everything, I bet you this was rooted in basketball in some way, and that the team just kind of felt that Jordan Poole got this money and he was talking a little bit. He was like, but still. So when I saw this clip, I said, you know what, I'm going to save this because I got to come back in here and let not only Danny Ocean, but everybody out there know. Listen. A team is a team. Your teammates want you to get paid. But at the end of the day, professional athletes are in the business of trying to win championships alongside of their very, very good wealth. Jordan Poole, I seen that shit that you did. You already be fucking up when the baddies be in the crowd and you go crazy. Okay, cool. I let you off with that Michigan State line. I'm going to let you rock with that because that's school. Hardy har har, hardy har har. They going to send me to Sacramento? Okay, you at the line, young boy. You at the line. I really don't want no sauce. We're supposed to be brothers here. I want to see you succeed, and I'm glad you got that money, but watch your fucking tone when you're talking to me, Jordan Poole. I knocked the light right off your skin, Jordan Poole. That's what Draymond was saying. Yo. I bet you that's what Draymond was saying. Then he says, why is your name Money 23 Green when you broke? All right, run that by me again. Just say it one more time. Listen, and this is probably the moment in time when Draymond started walking to, yo, I just want you to say that shit to me one more time. Well, say it again. Now just say it again. I just say it again. And then he was like, bro, you heard me. Why is your name money? Bop, bop. And that, listen, don't let your mouth write a check that your face cannot cash. And now you getting punched in front of Steph Curry, Ayesha Curry, and all the Thompsons and all them. You get punched in the face in front of Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, all of them got to watch you go down like Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury in the practice gym, no gloves on. They got the video out. Somebody done paid the video man a couple millions. Now the whole world seen you get knocked out. All because you was popping that big shit off when you didn't really need to be popping that big shit off. To me, the veteran, you just got here and you just got your money. I took a team-friendly deal because I wanted to see my mans get paid. But you just got here, little light-skinned boy, and all you did was come here off the bench and give us 20. Your ass can't play defense. You a liability on that end. So I wanted to reiterate, you was wrong.
So, first of all, who would have thought Cam Ryan would be the investigative journalist that he's become?
Shout out Cam Ryan.
Shout out Killer Cam, best rapping Dipset. For someone who enjoys talking so much trash, it sounds like he really can't take it. Like Draymond says, he said a lot more disrespectful things than granted, the money green line, yeah, that'd have pissed me off. Like he shouldn't have punched him, but I understand it. Like
But before we got into the NBA, you told me about how you hope Jim Jones and Pusha T can keep it on the music. And I said, well, Pusha is one of those dudes, he'll say it, but Jim Jones, the dude, he'll just come up to your house.
Yes.
Well, maybe Jim Jones, similarly to Draymond Green, he's just going to pull up to your house and ask you to say that shit again.
But here's the thing. Here's my thing about Draymond, right? He says the things he said to Paul Pierce. He said the things to the people around the league that he said. He is known for talking trash. He's done interviews about, oh, it's great. He just pops up. So Jordan Poole roasting you and now you getting sensitive?
Hey, but in all those instances, whether it was the Paul Pierce or anyone else, if they was to return fire with some of that smoke, he right there.
That's fair. Now
he is bringing the smoke to Jordan. No, really, he gave him three strikes.
Yeah, the money green line. I get it, right? Like, again,
little light-skinned boy, is I'm going to teach you something. Yes. You ain't going to be talking to me like this 20 points a game and you can't play no fucking defense.
I mean,
but back to the Golden State
Warriors. 6 points a game and you talk about you talking to me. But yeah. I understand.
Do you think the addition of Chris Paul and the subtraction of Jordan Poole brings the Warriors back to their championship glory? Do you think that?
Hell no. Really? Absolutely not. How old is Chris Paul? 37, 38? What is Chris Paul going to do in that offense?
He's going to come off the bench and probably help run the second unit.
But again, schematically speaking, like that offense, it's a flow offense. It's a lot of movement. When you ever seen Chris Paul run from a pin down? Like when you ever seen Chris Paul run from corner to baseline, from back screens to get an open three? Like schematically, I don't know if it's going to fit, but I don't care what Steph says. I don't care what Chris says. They do not like each other. This is going to be Poole and Draymond, but Steph and Chris, but they're not going to get violent. Steph too light-skinned and Chris Paul too professional, but they don't like each other. Why we got to act like they like each other?
But do you got to like each other to play professional basketball?
No, you don't. Let me ask you a question. What team has Chris Paul taken to the promised land?
Some would say the Phoenix Suns because that's the closest they've gotten to a championship.
Nope. This was a terrible idea. If I was Steph, I would have called Mike Dunleavy Jr. Like, dog, what the hell are you doing?
But on the flip side, who could they bring in to run that second team unit the way Jordan Poole does or did?
I don't know, but I'm telling you, all that, you traded Jordan Poole for a 38-year-old carcass of Chris Paul. I don't like the deal for Golden State at all.
But they're probably zoned in on trying to really maximize his championship window.
They should. They just, that's the wrong move. You think Denver saw that and was like, oh no, they have Chris Paul. We're petrified. What is KCP going to do?
True. That's true.
You as a Lakers fan, right? Like you guys are contenders. You saw that trade and you're like, oh no, Austin Reeves has to guard Chris Paul. What are we going to do?
I definitely saw the trade and I said, that's interesting. I wonder how they got there. But I also felt like the second thing I said was, oh, so everyone definitely took Draymond's side in that punch.
Oh yeah, Draymond. Draymond's contract was signed.
Yeah,
like that deal is done. You know, it's funny though.
Go ahead.
Because I think we're going to talk about it in a couple of minutes. No, it's not on the docket. Like, what if Draymond leaves in free agency? Like, what if Draymond's like, yo, I'm going to Sacramento for real. So we just traded away Jordan Poole because we thought you were right, and now you're going to leave us.
I think that would be hilarious. Draymond really loves playing with Steph Curry. I think the system they have in Golden State is successful. They've won 4 rings there.
I know. I'm just saying it would be hilarious if they're like, Draymond, we pick you over Jordan. And he's like, oh, man, that's great. I'm going to Sacramento. I'm going to go play with Mike Brown.
I think he wants to say. What do you think Porzingis to Boston does for Boston? You think that takes them over the edge in the Eastern Conference? You think that makes them favorites again?
I think it allows them to open up another part of the offense that, you know, now they can really spread the floor. They really want to shoot threes. Porzingis is that. Porzingis can, you know, he can protect the rim. Robert Williams gets hurt a lot. I mean, let's face it, Al Horford can stretch the floor, but he can't stretch the floor like a Porzingis can stretch the floor. I think it's a good move. I'm not mad at it. Like, it's a good move.
Yeah.
But can Porzingis stay healthy?
Speaking of health, staying in the Western, moving to the Western Conference.
Yep.
John Collins was traded to Utah for Rudy Gay in a future second round pick. What are your thoughts on that one?
This is the consequence of the new CBA, right? Like all these teams that have signed these lucrative deals for those who get guys who don't know starting July 1st, the new CBA kicks in. And once you hit that second tax, you hear that a lot, the second apron, you get penalized drastically. I think if you're over the apron 2 years in a row, like your first round pick drops to 30th overall, regardless of where you finish. So you're going to see a lot of teams make what appear to be stupid trades or trades that are, you know, where they're clearly the loser, but they got to get under the second apron, and they also have to sign their players in free agency and be able to do so. You're going to see some more of this. I know Atlanta, they look stupid, but I mean, don't be shocked. I've read that they might trade DeAndre Hunter too and Clint Capella. Like, they really got to get in because they got to extend DeJounte Murray and a few other people. So I think this is just a foreshadowing of what's to come.
Yeah, I saw this and I said, man, the CBA boy is about to change the landscape of the NBA.
Yeah.
So when I saw this trade, I said two things. Wow, Utah, y'all have a good chance of really being back in the playoffs next year.
Yes, they do.
Might not be a bad squad at all down in Salt Lake City. Next thing I said was, so the Phoenix Suns just don't give a fuck. They don't care. They
don't have any first round picks anyway. Who cares if it goes to 30? We ain't got no first round pick to begin with.
Yeah, so that'll hurt the other teams. So I guess that's two ways of doing it. Trade away all your picks and just say, fuck it, I'm all in. So that way, even if that pick goes to 30th, like you just mentioned, it don't. Or you play the OKC route and you try to really stay under. And now, win or lose, you always have those tradable assets. And this, people, is real life dynasty, because that's how you're supposed to do it. If you're in between, you're always losing because you're not maximizing on anything. You're not maximizing on your trading assets. You're not maximizing on your championship window. So I think it's gonna do good for Utah. I think John Collins, the addition of John Collins and with Lauri Markkanen, they got Jordan Clarkson, Walker Kessler. I mean, Jordan's a
free agent, I believe. I think Jordan Clarkson's an unrestricted free agent.
Oh, well, if he comes back, I think that could be a really, really good team. Yeah. So speaking of potential really, really good teams, so up here in Portland, there was a report that came out after the Scoot Henderson pick last week that Damian Lillard was not the happiest about the Scoot Henderson pick. And so him and his representation met with the Blazers yesterday. Ultimately, it came out that they're going to continue to try to stay together, win together, build together. Who do you think, or what do you think is ultimately going to happen here? Do you think Dame staying here is a win for the Blazers and Dame, or do you think it's time? Or are we already there?
I think we're already there, and I wish Dame would just say it. Like, you know, like it's like two people who need to break up, but the one person is scared to say it to the other. Like, the Blazers need to say to Dame, dog, we need to get you out of here. We're going to use you to start this rebuild. We got Scoot. We got Anthony. Like, we're going to get whatever we can for you. We'll try our best to send you to a champion so you can go win a ring. And Dame needs to say, yeah, I'm down with that. Trade me. Like this,
This is what annoying. Do you say to the reports that say he does not want to go to a super team that's stacked? He wants to go to a team that's okay but has a championship potential.
I feel like he has to say that. He has played, he has talked bad about super teams. He has talked about this loyal to the soul. Like, he's a WWE character that he's John Cena. Like, he can't turn heel. Like,
he's just all about his hustle, loyalty, and respect.
Yep. We got to ride this out. But in his spirit, I'm sure he's I don't care. I think I saw a report like his dream team would be like him, Draymond, and Jeremy Grant. Like, what?
No, he didn't say that. What?
What?
So he wants to prove that he is 1A on a championship team. I think the problem is that the NBA is looking at it and saying, I think you're a good 1B to
if he goes to Miami, he's 1A.
Is he?
Yeah. Who would you take right now, Jimmy or Dame?
What's the game situation?
I mean, Dame's the best closer in the game. I know, okay. Jimmy, we talked about playoff Jimmy, but we never talked about Jimmy fizzling out in the finals.
That's true. I can get by.
Since he hurt his ankle against the Knicks, he kind of started to fizzle out. But tell me a team with Jimmy, Dame, and Bam can't make noise in the East.
I think they could. I think that would. I mean, I think again, it would come down to them in Boston again.
Yeah, and Oladipo opted into his player option today. Like, if Oladipo is healthy off the bench, Dame, Jimmy, Bam, Hero's going to have to go to Portland to pull this off. But dog, like, we
or Duncan.
Yeah, like we can make this work. Like, Miami can make it work.
But the thing is at this point, will public perception play a role in Dame just choosing to stay there? Cuz he enjoys living out in Portland area. So family likes living out there. He's obviously well loved and respected. I mean,
here's the thing.
That's a hard sell. That's a hard sell to beat.
If he wants to stay in Portland, I'm not mad at him. But you got to stop talking about winning championships. Like, it's one or the other. Like, I love Portland. I want to stay here. I want to retire Trailblazer. That's cool. No problem. But you can't be like, I want to stay in Portland and I want to win a championship. Both aren't going to happen. Like, yeah. Portland's nowhere near a champion.
What do you say to the people transitioning? What do you say to the people that when they bring up the names Russell Westbrook and James Harden and the fact that one of these two Hall of Famers might be on a new team, they don't know who it might be, though? What do you say to those people, and what team do you think these two Hall of Famers will ultimately be playing on next year?
So I think they'll both be back on their respective teams. I think Russell will be back for the Clippers, and James Harden, you got Houston and Philadelphia. I don't think Ime Udoku wants to introduce James Harden to his team. I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't either, especially after the draft they've had. Like, what is James going to do for that team? Hey, guys, watch me dribble at the top of the key while you just stand there for, 23
dribble,
seconds.
Dribble, 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 dribble.
Yeah, I don't. They'll both be back in their respective cities.
I think a team like the Lakers could maybe play a part and maybe land in James Harden. But that'd I would only say that I don't want that to happen because I want to really bring back Austin Reeves and try to work with developing him and where he can go. I think it's a really, really good two-way player, and I think there's something special there. I would say if there was a player that I think could end up on a new team between the two of them, I think it's likely Russell Westbrook, right? I think we saw what he could do last playoffs with the Clippers or after the trade deadline. I think a team that could use a good either point guard off the bench or another or a point guard to help facilitate a little bit more would be smart to bring him in. He's still got a lot left. I think if you put him in a position where he's either running like a second unit or he's on a team with a dominant big man that he could help feed to, I think that could really, really help him. Ultimately, I think James Harden, similar to you, I don't think Ime Udoka wants. I think there's just way too much youth in that locker room right now to bring James Harden back. So I think Harden ends up going back to Philly, but I could definitely see Westbrook next year playing for a different team.
Yeah,
for sure.
Same.
All right, shifting over to the NFL. We are July starts basically this weekend. The 4th of July holiday is next week. When you hear July, you know what that means. That means it is training camp time, which also means that if you are in any of my fantasy football leagues, it is time. I will be reaching out soon. The commissioner is back. But off that.
And he needs his money.
I'm gonna listen, you're gonna see. You're gonna get that message. But with the start of training camp, that usually means for some players, it's contract extension time.
Let's get it.
So I'm going to name some players, and you tell me if their team should prioritize the extension, and if so, do they reset the market, yay or nay?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Justin Herbert.
Prioritize, he will not reset the market. What do you think?
Oh, what?
He will not reset.
Well, first off, we can both agree they're going to prioritize this. I think he's going to reset the market for all of like 5 days.
Okay. Yes. The next guy you're about to say, he going to change the game.
So our next guy, Joey Burrow.
Yes. Joe Burrow is going to reset the market for Patrick Mahomes.
I think by the time the season starts, Joe Burrow will be the highest paid quarterback in NFL history.
Yes.
I think he will be the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals until the beginning of the new millennium, because that is how long they might be paying Joe Burrow.
Yes.
So, listen, Joey, better deliver them folks one Super Bowl ring.
So here's the thing. Here's the only thing about Joe. If you're going to take a team-friendly deal so they can sign Higgins, because T. Higgins is due this year too, and then Ja'Marr Chase next year.
I think that's something that the front office is definitely telling Joe Burrow, like, yo, we can keep this wide receiver trio together. We want to pay you XXX. It's not going to reset the market, but you are going to be one of the top two or three. Like, what if they came back and basically asked him to take the same deal Lamar did or that Jalen did?
Yeah, I think he would. I think he could take the same deal Jalen took, even though Joe's been playing at a higher level than Jalen. They both have been to a Super Bowl. I just know Paul Brown and the Bengals are known for being cheap. And what better time to be cheap than when it's time to pay your quarterback, knowing that you have to pay two receivers as well?
I think Paul Brown would easily say replace one of these receivers first.
Yeah, and it's going to be T. Higgins. It won't be Ja'Marr Chase.
They'll probably end up trading T. Higgins to someone who needs a true number one. And boy, watch T. Higgins go crazy. All right. On the defensive, well, actually, no. Speaking of the wide receiver position, what about CeeDee Lamb?
Yes, he should be prioritized. No, he will not reset the market.
Yeah. So here's what I say. Between CD and the next wide receiver that we're about to mention, I think CD has the benefit of being with the organization that has an owner that loves his players.
Yes.
I actually easily really see not only the Cowboys prioritizing this extension, but I could easily see CD being I can actually see him resetting the market just because Jerry wants to let it be known that his guys are taken care of, especially anyone who wears the number 88.
This next guy you're about to say, it's going to be the same thing as Herbert and Burrow. Yeah, CD will reset it for 5 days, but this next guy.
But that's the thing. I don't think it will be for 5 days. I think CeeDee Lamb's going to start the year next year as the highest paid receiver in football. Justin Jefferson, the next guy on our list, I think we both can agree that the Vikings would be crazy not to prioritize it. I don't think he's going to reset the market, though.
Really? I think Justin Jefferson is going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Now, my question to you is, how do you have confidence that the Bengals are going to be cheap, but not that the Vikings would do something similar?
But the Bengals have a history of being cheap and not paying people. The Vikings don't.
Who have the Vikings paid?
I mean, they paid Kirk. They gave Kirk the first fully guaranteed contract for a quarterback, Kirk Cousins.
And right now, they still are struggling to really want to.
I'm just saying, like, but they've shown that they will pay. Like the Vikings have shown.
Kirk Cousins' market value wasn't all that. He won't reset nobody's market.
I feel like Jetta's going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. He will reset the market, and then Ja'Marr Chase next year.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think either Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson will be the highest paid non-quarterback next year, because this next guy, I think, is going to be the highest paid player who's not a quarterback, and that's Nick Bosa. I'm going to let you know right now. I agree. I think the 49ers are going to super prioritize this contract. The dude's a fucking beast.
Yes.
On both ends of both pass and run. And I think when you look at defensive ends and what they can do to impact the game, I think he is going to be paid like we have not seen before at the defensive position.
And he deserves it. He will. He is another person that will reset the market.
Easily. Who's highest defensive end right? Who's the highest paid defensive end right now?
Let's see. Miles Garrett, maybe?
Is it Miles Garrett? Why did I almost want to jump out and say Jadeveon Clowney at first?
Oh, goodness. Let's see. Here it is. Kyle, if you're in the chat, I haven't seen you. Highest paid on the defensive, not just one defensive end, not all defensive players.
Talk to me.
Aaron Donald's going to be the highest paid defensive player. He is at 31. TJ Watt, 28 million.
Yeah, that makes sense. And this is probably after that big year he had a couple years ago when he almost broke the sack record.
Yeah, and this is going into 2023. So Nick is going to be shooting for Aaron Donald makes 31 million. He's going to be shooting for 32 million, 33 per year. And he should.
Nick, ask for 35 a year if you're smart, and see what they come back with. What about, and speaking of other defensive players, what about Brian Burns in Carolina?
I think Carolina should prioritize him, because who else are you going to pay on that team? DJ Moore's gone. Like, who else can you pay on that team? He's not resetting the market. Like, he's not getting TJ Watt money. He's going to probably get 23, 24 million a year, which is nothing to sneeze at.
But I think they'll probably actually. No, I don't think the Panthers will prioritize an extension, but I feel like they'll probably renegotiate on like a 1 year deal that probably pays him like 30 mil a year.
Oh, that would be, if he's the second highest paid defensive player in the league, that is something.
But see, this is my thinking there, though. Similar to what you were saying, who does Carolina have to pay? So when you think about that, they're probably on a 1 year deal. Like, yeah, we got this cap. Let's just pay him. Let's just pay him.
So like a fancy franchise tag?
Yeah, pretty much. All right, now shifting to the position that the NFL deems does not matter, but everyone else clearly sees the impact. Let's shift over to the running back position.
Yes.
If you were Josh Jacobs in Las Vegas, if you were Saquon Barkley up in New York City, how would you play out your current contract situations? I've read somewhere that we might see Josh Jacobs hold out week one, maybe something similar for Saquon Barkley if they can't agree on an extension. Like, how would you play out the contract if you were both Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley?
I will hold out until week one.
For both?
Yep. The shelf life for those roles are so short. Like, the window to get your money is so small, and this is their window. Do what you got to do to get your money.
But what do you say to the organization when they say, well, that's not the current running back market, and we do a running back by committee anyway?
So I think Saquon said he wants Christian McCaffrey money, which is, I think Christian makes $16 million a year. And I don't think that's unreasonable, because Saquon is that offense. Daniel Jones' air yards is the lowest in the league. He's been very conservative. That offense runs through Saquon, not through Daniel Jones. Like, if I'm Saquon, I have all the leverage. Who's the backup in New York? Anybody know?
Davis Webb? I may not know.
The backup running back. Like, who's the backup?
So, don't laugh at me, but my mind went to Alfred Morris.
Let's see. Let's look at their depth. Let's look at their depth chart.
Currently in the league, I don't believe. And if you are Alfred Morris, shout out to you.
Matt Breida. So, if I'm Saquon, I'm going to say, hey, man, you want Matt Breida taking 35, 40 snaps a game? Go for it. Knock yourself out. I'll be over here hanging out.
And when they come back and they tell you, Saquon, we want you at $12 million a year, take it or leave it.
So they want Saquon to sign the franchise tag.
Which would pay him how much a year?
Let's see.
Maybe like 13?
Yeah, it's running back is 10. 10 mil. Hell no. Hell no, Saquon.
Yeah, then after them New York taxes come in.
And it's 1 year. So they're franchising this year. And if he plays nice and comes and he's a good soldier and he comes into training camp and he's all giddy, guess what? They're going to do it again to you next year.
True.
Yeah, you got to set the line.
True.
This is disrespectful and we're not having it.
Put the foot in your sand. Put the foot in the sand and say, hey, pay me now.
Yep.
Y'all paid Daniel Jones. Why?
I didn't tell you to pay Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. All right. You ready for our favorite segment, my brother?
Let's get it.
Big deal or no deal? This first one, I couldn't wait. Couldn't wait to talk about this one when I heard the news. Ocean Gate.
Yes.
By now, you know what happened. Some white folks got in a submersible, not a submarine. They got into a submersible vehicle. Was trying to see wreckage of the Titanic. They went down there using a damn Logitech controller.
Crazy.
Went down too deep after about an hour and a half. Lost communications. They don't come to find out they had about X amount of oxygen left. Ain't nobody heard from them since. They gone.
So,
big deal or no deal?
Big deal. First, people died. And that is something that should not be taken lightly. But when I saw these news channels have a countdown for when they would run out of oxygen, we are not a serious country. That was the funniest shit I've seen in my life.
Listen, not only are we not a serious country, but y'all find out every day how stupid this country really thinks we are.
Yes.
You mean to tell me... Did you read the reports that the Navy had heard on Sunday about the implosion that happened and didn't want to give up locations to some of their naval bases and so, or naval positions? So they waited some days. So I saw that and I was like, we as a society, as a country, are dumb and they know it.
Yes.
They just play in our face. They're distracting us for something, people. They are distracting us from something. I want to know what it is.
Oh, you're turning into conspiracy, brother.
Listen, listen, JP Morgan, y'all just got in trouble for deleting all them emails. You had to pay a fine because y'all was deleting all them emails. What, was this in relation to the Coke boat?
Not the Coke boat. What is the Coke boat?
JP Morgan, listen, that's all I'm going to say. Leave well enough alone. When I heard this story, the first thing I said was, I know they are. They got to be.
Oh, yeah. Once I heard $250,000 per head to sit crisscross in a 55-gallon drum being ran by a Logitech controller. Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
And people, if following the audio or visual adventure, wondering what do we mean? We mean we knew instantaneously when we heard the story that these were white folks. There's just no way my brothers and my sisters are getting on any. Listen, why would you want to be first to go see the Titanic in this type of vehicle?
I'll be more specific: white men, because women wouldn't do this either. Like this.
Why would you want to be the first to see the Titanic this way by a company called Ocean Gate LLC?
Oh, they had the LLC in the name?
Yes, look it up. Ocean Gate LLC. They're not even fully liable.
At least it was quick, right? Like, I've seen a couple of videos on how, like, it imploded, yeah, the pressure, the heat is the temperature of the surface of the sun, and they, like, turned into gel. It's like, and they didn't even realize it was so quick that their brain couldn't comprehend. Like, they were here, then they weren't. I'm glad. The only person I ever saw before, sorry for real, is that 19-year-old, because apparently he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
But he just wanted to please his dad.
Yeah.
Y'all, let me tell you, if my son came to me and was like, yo, I'm not going in a burn barrel to see the Titanic, I'd be like, yeah, me neither. I wouldn't be mad.
Well, you saw the stepson was at the Blink-182 concert.
Crazy. Yo, he is wildin'.
And with the OnlyFans models. Listen, hey, Cardi B, leave that boy alone. Everybody grieves differently.
How old is he? How old is the stepson?
He I don't know. You're like 20 something, I believe.
What did I say about everything with Zion went down? When you're that young and you have access to that kind of money, what do you want to do? You want to sleep with the women that you find attractive,
yeah,
porn stars or whomever, and that's what they're doing.
So you saying if you got a couple million in your pocket and you was 19, 20, 21, 22, you're not trying
yes.
to
do it? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Who you pulling up with?
I haven't done that in a long time.
Lisa Ann? Peter Jensen?
I'm trying to jump into the time machine.
Yeah. You definitely pulling up with the milk stars. You're not pulling up with no sisters.
I'm pulling up with both. Like
you ain't pulling up with no pinky.
Pinky. Look, man, at some point there is such thing as too much ass.
See, look at him. Look at him.
That would break my pelvis. Have you seen? Man, ain't no way.
I wonder if Martin and Malcolm knew these are the type of Negroes they'd be fighting for. I just wonder if they. I wonder if they'd go back if Martin really still would have had that dream. Listen, you think if Martin Luther King would have heard the song Pound Town, if he would have really made the I Have a Dream speech, I think he would have cut that short.
He would.
I'm out of town, thugging with my rounds. Martin would have been like, no, not these Negroes.
Keep us separate.
Oh yeah, he's talking about segregation now. Yeah, we might be on to something. Yeah, boy. Malcolm would have let some of y'all hear about it. Malcolm would have been honest with some of y'all. Malcolm would have been like, what did Dr. Umar say? Some of y'all gotta stay.
Some of y'all going to sleep. For good. Best line. Dog, I don't watch award shows at all. But I saw that clip of her performing in it. Like, she wasn't set to perform. They just played her song, and she was just having money in her.
I'm out of town, thugging with my rounds. Hey.
Again, I try not to hate on the new music just because it's now, not
some of that shit is some bullshit. But some of it be fire, even though they don't be saying nothing. Listen, on to the next one. John Jones and Francis Ngannou had a face-to-face exchange over the weekend at a PFL event. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mutual respect in the air. Both of them kind of letting you know, hey, I respect what you did, so on and so forth. But there was also a lot of, y'all also kind of want to fuck you up. Like, I want to put these paws in here. I want to, there's only one true king. There's only one true champion sort of vibe. So let me ask you something. Is this a big deal or no deal that this fight has not happened yet between John Jones and Francis Ngannou?
It's a big deal that it hasn't happened. And I am not, I'm not a big combat sports guy, but let me tell you something. John Jones fights, I'm in there. Yeah. That's how special he is. We need to see this. Streets need this.
Listen, the streets need this immediately. This is one of those UFC heavyweight matchups that I'm just eagerly waiting. I never got John Jones versus Brock Lesnar like I wanted to. I think Brock may have been too scared for that.
But yeah, probably. Brock don't want to. No, Brock don't want to fight no cokehead.
Yeah. Listen. I don't think Brock wants that smoke, but this, I think they're very evenly matched. I think they're both very strong. Listen, I don't know if I've really ever seen John Jones lose for real, like someone actually beat him. And Francis is a dominant champion. So I know he's signed to PFL right now. John Jones is obviously the UFC heavyweight champion. So I don't know if we're ever going to get this fight. So this is definitely a big deal that we haven't gotten this fight. And listen, Francis, John, stop playing, man. Stop playing with me. I'll pay the pay-per-view fees.
Yep, me too.
Or I'll find somebody to pay him for me.
I'll bootleg it out. We'll find a way. We'll find a way.
Shifting over to college football. Listen, man, Brian Kelly said federal action in regards to NIL deals is necessary. You think this is a big deal or no deal?
Excuse my language. Shut the fuck up, Brian Kelly. Stop pocket watching.
We got him. Listen. I think this is a big deal. I think Brian Kelly he's trying to even the playing fields. He's seeing what some of y'all schools are doing, and he's seeing that some of these players is chasing the money to find out where the money resides. And he's trying to say, hey, this is fucking LSU, baby. It's LSU, baby.
Why he has access LSU, to baby? More booster money than 97% of the nation. Dog.
Yeah, but Les Miles fucked it up for him. Now what? Les Miles fucked it up for him. And Les Miles, this right into the next one. Les Miles, day after your ass. Listen, Les Miles had some wins from 2012 to 2015 vacated at LSU, putting his Hall of Fame resume in real danger. So when you think of Brian Kelly saying, hey, these NIL deals, this shit's getting out of control. We can't do nothing about it. And then you also hear about Les Miles fucking up this badly. You don't think Brian Kelly may be on to something here?
No, Brian Kelly is being a hater. He and Dabo Swinney, for some reason.
Well, fuck it, let's hate then.
Okay, well then, if you're going to hate, acknowledge that you're hating. I appreciate that.
I don't really think that's hate. That's basically saying I'm being fucked here, and they even put lotion on it first.
Anyone who asking the feds to come to look into something to snitch and need to shut up.
Oh, okay. So you definitely won't bump in the Gunna album. Okay. Hello. I think it's fucked up. You going to leave. Then you hold on. Nah.
Stop.
What was that shit you said? Stop the pocket watching. Nah, Brian Kelly, keep the pocket watching. You know why? Because sometimes you gotta pocket watch a little bit so you can put out some fire.
How about this, Brian Kelly? We should watch your pocket to see if he paid for the funeral of that person who died because you had them climb the rafters to film practice back in Notre Dame. Can we talk about that?
You bringing up stuff that don't matter. My brother, listen.
Yo, someone died. Yo, what you talking about?
See, come on. Sometimes you gotta rat a little bit. You see what happens when you rat a little bit? Talk to me, Gunna. Huh?
There's a difference between ratting for your freedom and ratting because you're just a hater.
Brian Kelly, this is freedom. He fight like R. Kelly. Brian Kelly said he fight for his fucking life.
Brian Kelly, I mean, yeah, he just being a hater.
Tell me how she kept a straight face interviewing R. Kelly, man. He up there crying, talking about he fight for his fucking life.
That's a professional because I'd have been weak.
Listen, you ever seen that clip of Dr. Umar talking about why they couldn't have Meek Mill and Bill Cosby in the prison at the same time?
No.
All right. Listen, the shit I be having in my phone, man. Dr. Umar, funny as hell, man.
He is really funny in small clips, right? Like little 30-second, but I can't listen to a whole interview of him.
Why not? Hold on.
When he on the Breakfast Club, I got to tune that out, man.
Lynch Cosby on the 26th is because if they were in jail at the same time, the whole attention of America would have been on the Pennsylvania criminal injustice system, and they couldn't allow that to happen. They had to free Mill in order to kill Bill.
They had to free Mill in order to kill Bill. Them Dr. Umar's were Dr. Umar, come up here and talk. Listen, Dr. Umar.
Hell no, don't come up here talking. Please don't.
They had to free Mill in order to kill Bill. Listen.
Bill killed himself when he raped all those women in the 70s and 80s.
Hey, and he out now, fighting for his life.
Crazy.
He fighting for his life. Moving to the WNBA, listen, the Connecticut Sun lost Breonna Jones to a hurt Achilles over the weekend. Do you think this is a big deal or no deal to the Connecticut Sun's title hopes this year?
Massive deal. Actually, Connecticut is playing New York right now. They're down 74-66 in the fourth, but in regards to the larger scale, Breonna Jones is their big. I think she was having like 15-8. She was there to guard Asia Wilson. Like, when you get to the finals, you're going to need a big. Now, granted, Brown isn't as athletic as Asia, but she can throw her shoulder into Asia's chest and, like, be physical. This is massive to Connecticut's. I still think they're contenders, but they're going to have to make a trade. They're going to have to find someone else who can pick up that slack because that is massive. She's the third most important player on that team.
So, but what about the other two then?
So, AT, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and then Dawana Bonner, in my opinion, are 1 and 2, which is funny because they're married. But like you need a body when you play Asia, when you play Jonquel Jones, like when you play Brittany Griner, like you need someone who can hold their own in single coverage or who doesn't need that much help. So this is massive. This is a really big deal for Connecticut's title chance.
Well, why don't you talk about AT then?
Yeah, so AT Alyssa Thompson, she set the WNBA record. She had a fourth triple double. She had two this week. She had one when they announced the All Star starters on Sunday. She was not a starter, so she wins. She goes on. She gets a triple double. She has the most in WNBA history. Really big deal. It's hard to get a triple double In the NBA, it's even harder to get a triple-double in the WNBA because, again, the WNBA are four 10-minute quarters. The NBA is four 12-minute quarters. So, in theory, NBA players play almost an extra quarter of WNBA minutes. So, it's really, really, really hard to get a triple-double. So, the fact that she had two in 1 week, four in her career, that's really impressive.
Hooping. That's a big deal, man. Anytime your name is on a record in any type of professional sports league, that is a big, big deal. So shout out to AT and prayers up to, you know, Breonna Jones, hoping for a very speedy recovery. Also this weekend, my brother, we have the Formula One Austrian Grand Prix. This is it's a really, really exciting time in Formula One. We're going to have, I believe, four races over the next 5 weeks. This is their European circuit. So we're going to have a lot of Formula One races over the next couple weeks. I think these next four or five races are going to be a big determining factor in both the Constructors and the Driver Championships. I think if Red Bull continues to stay dominant with Max and Sergio, particularly Max, over these next couple of weeks, I think we can pretty much wrap up the Drivers' Championship and maybe even the Constructors' Championship.
Okay.
Very excited to see, though, with teams like Mercedes, teams like Aston Martin, teams like maybe Ferrari, teams like maybe McLaren, what they're going to do coming off the race in Spain a couple weeks ago, I believe. So really going to see how they're going to be looking towards that momentum. I think Mercedes is making, they're trending in the right direction. I think they're at a point right now where they're trying to fight to pass Ferrari in the Constructors' Championship. So I think if they do that, they'll probably start eyeing to start hopefully getting closer and closer to Max and the Red Bull team on the grid. So we'll see. Excited. I think FP1 probably will start on Thursday. FP2 will probably be sometime on Friday. And then FP3 and qualies. Actually, no, this is a sprint weekend, actually. So this is a little different format. So they'll actually have a sprint that determines the lineup for the race on Sunday. So really excited. Really, really excited.
One quick update. For those who are watching, Alyssa Thomas is 1 point away from another triple-double. So that'll be three triple-doubles in a week. There's 5 minutes left in that game.
Safe to assume that she'll get another triple-double. It's nice, man. Listen, shout out to all the hoopers, man. All the hoopers. It's a beautiful time for hoops. Love summer hoops. I see my Sparks they're on a little winning streak right now. I believe they're 500 right now.
Yeah, Destiny Henderson put on a show Friday night against Dallas. I stayed up to watch that game. She was balling, and she balled against Sunday against Dallas. But Friday night, she really put on a show.
Yeah, so shout out to the Sparks. Shout out to the Lakers, man. Y'all need to go ahead and sign Austin Reeves. I see what y'all trying to do. Y'all playing publicist games. Go ahead and sign Austin Reeves, man. Stop playing with us.
Get that man his money. I never thought I'd be out here advocating for a white man to get his money, but here we are.
Wait, say what?
Never thought I'd be out here advocating for a white man to get his money, but here we are.
You know why? You know why? Because sometimes when it comes to getting money, you know what you got to say? Oh, hey, come on, Gunna. Hey,
listen. You have been in your bag today.
Oh, man. Hey, sometimes, Listen, this is all I'm going to say. They put 25 in front of me, everybody going down. Nino Brown style. That's why I don't commit no crimes. Put 25 in front of me, I'm telling on everybody.
Not do anything illegal in front of me. Because y'all going to jail.
Yeah, y'all going to jail. Y'all.
I ain't going to jail for nobody.
Now, if they say you got to do a month or two in jail, I might hold y'all down.
Nah. We avoid jail at all costs. I feel like if
they put a week in front of you, you ain't gonna hold it down.
Let me tell you something. I feel like if other inmates knew you were only going to be there for a week, they'd make your life harder than someone who's doing like real time.
Nah, but if not true. See, but that's why you got to come back into the booth and get into that. Come on.
That's why you don't do anything illegal in front of me.
I'm telling on the whole gang.
Everybody did it, officer.
Listen, let me ask you one question. What do you say to this Cardi B maybe cheating on Offset rumor?
Hilarious.
So a lot of people are saying that Offset has no room to talk because he was previously the the infidelity one in their relationship. And I saw that, and you know what I said? Now tell me if this is crazy.
Okay.
I saw that and I said, well, yeah, Offset was on that fuck shit, but do as I say, not as I do.
Okay, yes, you are crazy. The thing to me about this whole story is that he and Quavo squash whatever it is they have.
I think it was because of Cardi.
Yeah, and Cardi tweets like, I'm proud of y'all. The next day, story come out, she cheat on him.
She said it's cap, though. She said it's all cap.
Of course she gonna say it's cap.
Yeah.
What else she supposed to say?
Oh, so you believe she did it?
I don't believe one thing or another, but what is she supposed to say? Yep, y'all right.
She could say...
She not gonna embarrass that man like that.
Yeah, I mean, she could say, yeah, I fucked him, so?
Nah, she's not that dumb. I know Cardi B acts like a hood rat, and I use that term very loosely because that's very anti-black, but I know she acts like she's dumb. No, she's smarter than that. She wouldn't do that. She would not do that.
Who do you think had a longer night that night? Lil Uzi, Vert, or Offset?
Oh, definitely Uzi, because we caught his on camera. We know for sure what happened with him, and we can put the internet detectives put together a very compelling case that his wandering eye to eye Spice got his... causing him to get his ass whooped in the front row.
No, all he did was shout her out in the song that he was performing.
Come on, what? Man. We're smarter than what? This.
What?
We smarter than this.
Sometimes, listen, I can't put... He said the girl got hair like Ice Spice. What's the issue?
Sitting right beside her?
Yeah. Listen, that's the seating people. That's the seating arrangement people who did that.
No, nah, man. Nope. I don't buy it. I don't buy seating
arrangement. Listen, all I'm saying is, JT, you did not have to throw that phone at him twice.
Yeah, I know we talk about...
No, she threw the phone, someone handed it back to her, she threw it back.
Yeah, I know we talk about abusive relationships in regards to men and women, but that does not seem like a very healthy relationship.
Apple somewhere got to do mad PR. iPhones are not to be used as blunt objects.
Hey, you know, but hey, he's sitting beside Ice Spice, looking at her, taking pictures of her with her, and then he get on stage and shout.
That's for
out.
Work, though.
Come on, dog.
That's work.
Okay. It's for work. It's for work, baby. Go ahead, use that.
Now
go ahead,
try sauce on it. You put sauce on it.
Go ahead, try that. Try that. You tell me how that go.
Now you put sauce on it.
Go ahead, try. Tell me how that go.
Go ahead. No. Act like that. What you mean? Listen, what are you going to do? They have the BET Awards. Yo, Ice Spice, salute. Yeah, flick up real quick. What's good? That warrants getting your head knocked off with a phone?
That was not, I guarantee.
And that was the first time she heard that song, too.
For me, here's the thing. That's probably not the first time that he has alluded a lust for Ice Spice.
Well, maybe he like her music. You know she like to do the bend over and wipe the
mm-hmm.
You know, he like her music. You thought it was filming you? Yeah, that boy a munch. Yeah. Shout out Uzi. I like that song.
No one likes Ice Spice music.
That's not true. My girl like Ice Spice music.
I saw a tweet that says Ice Spice took drill music, start talking bad bitch stuff, and that's her niche. And I was like, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, turn that shit up. You gotta have something for the ladies.
Absolutely. But again, I try not to make fun of the newer artists because when I was your age, my older relatives make fun of the people I listen to. So
Foxy Brown's, the Lil Kims of the world?
No, so the first rap album I ever bought was Country Grammar. And I remember I was listening to it and my cousins came and go, what kind of bullshit is this? But they were used to listening to like Rakim and Nas. And Biggie, so right, like it's.
But they also probably noticed that there was no baddies around when they was playing that.
Probably not, but the baddies was around for Country Grammar. So that's what I always try to keep that in mind when I hear the new music. It's not for me.
Mm-hmm. It's not Nelly for used me. To bring him out too.
Yes, he did.
You know who also be bringing them out? You got to pay more attention to them Latin artists.
Yo, Bad Bunny.
They be bringing them out.
Dog, I had no idea the hype for Bad Bunny. Then I heard some of his music like a couple weeks ago. I was like,
what about Romeo Santos too?
Carlos Santana for all the old heads like myself.
They bring them things out, and you know how they feel about them Latin performers. They come with the little the dresses and whatnot with the heels. They be in there, suave, hey, suave, hey.
Someone.
That should be kind of rocking. Hey man, let the people know where they can find you and who and where the podcast is brought to them by.
You can find me on this Bird app at DannyOcean41. Follow us Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Speak on it _pod wherever you find your socials.
Yep, yep, yep. And make sure you guys follow me at Los Demix. That's at LOSDEEMIX. Shout out to everyone who pulled up to the live stream to watch. Shout out to everyone who watched around the world, wherever you may be. People, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you were here with us tonight to speak on it. Listen, a couple things I want to say before we get up out of here. One, make sure you guys send us your questions at speakonit14@gmail.com. We've been getting a lot of good questions as of late. Let's keep it up in the summer months. Some other things I just want to make sure I start speaking into the universe. She is not on vacation and she has not been on vacation. You should notice that she keeps posting her pictures but doesn't want to show the other side of the table. My brother, go love yourself. That is not the girl.
That's fair.
Secondly, she did not take a couple hours to text you back because she was asleep. She didn't fall asleep. She's sleeping with someone else. My brother, go love yourself.
Yes.
All right. Secondly, she takes a... I'm actually not going to say that one. So then I'm moving on to my next point. Sisters out here. He is not away on a business trip for 3 weeks. He's with his other family. You should probably leave him. One. Two. No, he did not go get his car fixed by his homie. His homie works at UPS. He's at somebody's house. Two. the fuck? Listen. And three, he is not taking you seriously. He is just trying to clap them cheeks. That's why he only hits you up after 11 and 11:30 p.m. You should probably start loving yourself. Listen, Danny, as always, it is always a pleasure to be here with you for another week to continue to speak on it. I got to go back to playing this because, listen, this shit is fire. I know. Listen. This is why you got to be free and drop your music, because when you really go through some shit, you got some shit to really speak about. You come out and you just sound like this. Okay. Come on. You hear them guitar strings? Oh, my God. Come on.
Sound come like on. Freedom. Oh, Alyssa Thompson triple-double.
There we go.
Three in one week.
3 in 1 week. Now she has what, five in her career?
Five in her career, and I think she's now averaging a triple-double.
Come on, talk to me. Shout out Alyssa Thomas. Shout out Gunna. Shout out Push. Shout out Jim Jones.
Yes.
Yeah. Listen. People, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. Thank you. Love you. Continue to speak on it.
See you next week.
Later.